Bibles. Let's start with reading our Bibles. So Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30. This is Jesus, and he says, here's another story Jesus told. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. Let's stop here. What is the kingdom of heaven? A lot of people are confused here because they think the kingdom of heaven is actually heaven. It's the spiritual realm. Not so. The kingdom of heaven is God's rule upon the earth. How many of you know, if you're a Christian or if you're a spiritual person, you know that there's two forces active in this world today. One force of darkness and one force of light. We Christian call it, there's a force that's called Satan, rebellious angel of God, archangel, the top angel of God. And there's a force of the Holy Spirit or Jesus or God, the creator. There's two forces battling in this world. Okay? And so Adam and Eve, when they were created, they were given authority of this earth, of this planet earth. They were the rulers. They were the kings of this earth. They were the principality of this earth. God said to them this when he created them. He said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and rule over it. Did you know that people were created to rule over this earth? And every other entity is illegal. But Satan came in an image of a serpent, and I don't understand all that. And he deceived Eve and then Adam to disobey God, to rebel against God. And when he did that, guess what? They abdicated their rule and authority unto him. So we are not, although we are rightful owners to rule on this earth, because we were put in here and given authority by God the Creator, because we rebelled against God, we lost that authority. And the one who has the authority is Satan. I'll prove it to you. Jesus comes 2,000 years ago, and he goes and fasts for 40 days and 40 nights, fasting, no food. On the 40th day somewhere, Satan comes to him and he says, if you bow down to me, first, let me backtrack. He shows him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory and their power. And he says, all of these kingdoms are mine. I have been given them. Who gave it to you, Satan? Adam and Eve. Humanity. By them disobeying God, they lost the kingdom. And he says, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give it to you. And Jesus says, no. I'm not going to get the kingdom through worshiping you. I'm going to get it through pain and suffering. Jesus, wouldn't it be easier to just bow down once to the devil with little horns or with a tail? You know, just bow down to him and you'll get the kingdom. Jesus says, no. That's how we lost it in the first place. He wasn't going to give you the kingdom. Right? And so Satan is the owner, but through the cross, Bible says Jesus regained the kingdom. Okay? And so now when the Bible says the kingdom of God is like, or the kingdom of heaven, sometimes it uses one or the other. It doesn't mean heaven, where we will go when we die. It means here. His reign and rule upon the earth. Jesus' reign and rule upon the earth. Amen. When we pray in the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. So we're asking for God's government to come down and rule in this world. Notice, he can't come until we ask. See, Satan, he's the one who breaks in into your life. He doesn't ask permission to come in into your life. He offers you things, and as you open the door for those things, he comes in through those things. He comes in through addictions. He comes in through anger, unforgiveness. These are open doors for Satan into our heart. He doesn't tell us that these are doors and that's how he's going to come in. But he's a trickster. He's been a liar and a father of lies since the beginning. Jesus said this about him. So he comes in through these things into our life. God, on the other hand, will not force himself into you. He has to be asked. That's why And at the end of every service, we ask you to ask Jesus into your heart. He won't come in any other way unless you ask. How cool is that? We serve a God who will not force his way in. Okay? He will not force his way in. So there's two kingdoms in this world. There's a kingdom of God and there's kingdom of darkness. So let's put that first verse on the screen. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted his seed in a field. So now we have a problem. What is the kingdom of God like? What is it? What is it like? That's the next question. What is your government God like? How do we know we are in the kingdom? How do we know we're using the principles of the kingdom? How do we know? So he tells us, here's how the kingdom of God works. And so he says it's like a farmer. It's simple. It's something you can understand. Kingdom of God is not complicated. It's simple. It's like the farmer who planted a seed in his field. Let's keep going. But that night, as the workers slept, his enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat. Then he slipped away. Isn't it interesting that the enemy comes when we sleep? In the last 20 years in business, we've had like two robberies. And guess when they happen? We had people come and rob some of our equipment. And usually it happens at night. Amen. I heard that satanic best hour of Satan is 3 a.m. That's when he does his best work. That's when his demons and angels and agents and servants, that's when they do their work. So as they slept, interesting thing is, I think that's also symbolic of something, of us sleeping. Sometimes as Christians, we get sleepy. It happens. I wish it didn't. Even the wise, you remember the story of 10 brides, 10 virgins? 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. All of them fell asleep. Even the wise fall asleep. And so, I'm not going to go into that. There's a whole sermon there. You know, don't sleep as a Christian, but that's not my point today. So, let's keep going. His enemy came and planted the weeds among the wheat and slipped away. Next verse. When the crop began to grow and produce grain, the weeds also grew. The farmer's workers went to him and said, "Sir, the field where you planted the good seed is full of weeds." Those weeds are called tares or darnels. And do we have a picture of that, of showing you guys? If we do, let's put them on after. Sir, the field where you planted the good seed is full of weeds. Where did they come from? Next verse. An enemy has done this, the farmer explained. Should we pull out the weeds, they asked. No, he replied. You'll uproot the wheat if you do. You'll uproot the wheat. The thing about tares or darnels or this weeds, they tangle themselves into the root system of the wheat. They tangle themselves. So you can't just pull out a tare or a weed without pulling a wheat out. They tangle themselves. And so as much as we want to solve the problem immediately, right? When we see something, God says, no, it's too tangled up. You don't uproot it because you might uproot the good plant. Notice how he cares about the good plant, that he would even leave the weed next to you. He will leave. And sometimes you ask God, you say, God, why is there so many weeds in my life? Why are there so many bad people? Why are there so many jerks in my life? Why is there so many bad Christians in my life? Why is there atheists at work? Why, God, why? God says, the enemy has planted them. There. The enemy has planted there to stunt your growth. But God says, I'm not worried about your growth being stunted. Because I'm actually going to use the tares to strengthen the wheat. Okay? Sometimes you ask God, God, I have this pride issue in my life. Have you ever seen something in you and you're like, God, I got lust issue in my life. God, I got this arrogance issue in my life. God, when are you going to pull it out? And God says, at the harvest. Not yet. But God, this thing is, God says, you haven't felt the full, if I pull the pride out, I might pull out the work that I'm doing through the pride in your life. Huh. Say what? Yeah. If I pull out that person out of your life, you won't be as strong as you need to be for the next level of your life. And that's why I'm going to allow for a little bit, till harvest, I'm going to allow this wheat to grow in your life to make you stronger. Did you know it's not the good times that make us stronger? It's when we go through hell that makes us stronger. It's when we go through the valleys of shadow and death that makes us stronger. And I know some of you don't want to hear this right now. And I don't want to hear this. But that's the fact. I don't want to feed you lies at church. I don't want to tell you as a believer, everything is going to be hunky-dory in your life. Just peachy. I'm not going to tell you that. God says He's going to allow some weeds in your life. Look at Joseph. Wasn't there some weeds in his life? In Potiphar's house, he's a slave. And this woman, Potiphar's wife, Mrs. Potiphar, is casting her evil eye on him and forcing him. I mean, she wanted to rape the dude. Bad word, but you get what I mean. Right? Joseph resists, and that gets him into prison. God, you know, if you planted me, why am I in prison? God says, because for what I'm making you strong for, what I'm going to do in your life, you need to be strong. You need to be strong. And so I'm going to allow this thorn, this weed in your flesh, so I can do great work in your life. So I can do this great work in your life. Should we uproot the weed? Weed or the tares? No, he replied, you'll uproot the wheat if you do. Next verse. Let both grow until the harvest. Then I will tell the harvester to sort out the weeds, tie them into bundles and burn them, and put the wheat in the barn. Amen. Now, what is the interpretation of that? Because that's a parable. It has a bigger meaning. Okay, it has a spiritual meaning. So verse 36 is the interpretation. And I'm going to try to read through this. It says this, then leaving the crowd outside, Jesus went into the house. His disciples said, please explain to us the story of wheat in the field. Jesus replied, the Son of Man is the farmer who plants the good seeds. So Jesus is the Son of Man who plants good seeds. Next verse, the field is the world. And the good seed represents the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people who belong to the evil one. The enemy who planted the weeds among the wheat is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and harvesters are the angels. Just as the weeds are sorted out and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the world. The Son of Man will send His angels, and they will remove from His kingdom everything that causes sin. Notice, from His kingdom. So the tares are in where? In His. Where are the tares? In His kingdom. Not in the devil's kingdom. Huh. That could answer a question that some of you had. Why are Christians so messed up? Some of them, at least. Because not all who call themselves Christians are Christians. Not all who are in the church are the church. Not all who are in the field are sons of the kingdom. Some are sons of the evil one. Here's your answer. When you ask, why is there so many messed up people in the church? Well, because first of all, it's like asking a first grader, why don't you understand calculus? Okay, that just one point. It's like Some are just baby Christians. Some are just first graders, you know, kindergartners, first graders. And you're asking them to be perfect. That's like college level. They're not there yet. So you can't expect, right? You can't expect from a baby Christian to be a perfect Christian, you know. So the change doesn't happen overnight. It happens over a lifetime. Amen? Amen. So it's like school. Church is like school. So you'll have all kinds. You'll have kindergartners, you have fifth graders, and maybe seventh graders. But that's as far as we go, probably, you know. So the Son of Man will send his angels, and they will remove. Notice, it's not even pastor's job to remove the weed out of the field. Notice, it's not my job. Huh. Why? Because I'm biased. Because I don't see everything. Only God sees everything. And they will remove from his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. Next verse. And the angels will throw them into the fiery furnace. Now here's the reference to hell. Because a lot of Christians believe that there's heaven, but there's no hell. The tares are going to go somewhere. And they're going to go into furnace. And listen, I don't like talking about this. Pastor, why do you have to be so negative, you know? But if your pastor doesn't tell you the truth, who will? Amen. So, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous, the sons of the kingdom, will shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom. Anyone who with ears to hear should listen and understand. That's a lot of scriptures. It took me like 15 minutes to go through. But we love scriptures here. We love scriptures here. So let's go to point number one. First, God plants seed in us. Then he plants us as a seed in the world. Listen to me. If you are a true believer, if you are a true follower of Christ, you are a seed that God has planted in the world. What does that mean? Meaning that God has put you in exactly the place you need to be to make an impact. Okay? God has put you in business so you can impact the business world and bring the kingdom of God into the business world. He planted you in education. He planted you in technology, in media, in politics even. He planted you so you can bring the kingdom of God into your sphere of influence. By itself, that kingdom as it is belongs to an evil one. This world belongs to God, but evil one planted his agents in every area of this world. Okay? So you are called to bring the kingdom of God into this world. Why does God plant us in the world? That's my question to you guys. Why does God plant us in the world? Well, let me give you another question. Why does a farmer plant seeds in his field? To harvest? Come on. Why does a farmer plant seed in a field? Why can't he just eat it? Okay. Here's the answer. So he can multiply something small into something big. So you plant one apple seed. How many apples are you going to get? Thousands. Amen? You plant one wheat seed and you're going to get like 40 little grains on it. So the goal of, and this is how the kingdom of God works. Sometimes we think it's supernatural, but God says, no, it's kind of natural almost. This is how the kingdom of God works. So the reason a farmer plants a seed is so he can get more seed. Some of you are like, wow, that's so simple. I'm like, yeah, but it's so profound. Watch this. God didn't plant a million people on the earth. He planted one seed. He didn't even plant Eve. You know God didn't plant Eve. He took her out of Adam. Anything alive in this world works by the principle of how God works. Okay?
Sometimes we want to ask God to do something above of what he has done. Like this world is natural, we call it. But it actually is supernatural. It's already supernatural. Sometimes we want God to do something bigger than he has already done. But if you want to know how God works, look what he has done. He plants a seed, and then from those seed he multiplies. That's his principle. That's not only how this world works, that's how the kingdom of God works. Because God created the kingdom of God, and God created this world. So you can see the similarities. Amen. So watch this. Adam and Eve were planted as a seed in this world, and God breathed life into Adam and Eve. And then God says, be fruitful, multiply, multiply. God says, let my kingdom that I planted in this world multiply. I want you to read this with me. Genesis 2:7. It says this. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground. He breathed. I want you to remember this word, breathe. The breath of life into man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. He breathed himself into him. He breathed himself into. Now, Jesus comes thousands of years later. Jesus comes to this earth, right? And he does something exactly the same. After his resurrection, John 20:22. Watch this. This is huge. Then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. I often wonder, why would God do that? Why would Jesus do that? You know what he was saying? I am God. Just like I breathed in Adam and Eve and gave them a blessing and ability to multiply, I am breathing. Satan messed it up, right? Satan messed it up the first time through Adam and Eve. God says, through Jesus now, I'm breathing into you. And now, let's put verse 21. Again, he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. So the job of Adam and Eve was to produce, to multiply. And the job of the kingdom of God that Jesus brought to his disciples is to be fruitful and multiply. I'm more excited than you are for some reason. Maybe it's not getting through, but Holy Spirit asked that somewhere deep inside it'll begin to work. Now, where is he sending them? Watch. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. Where? Come on, somebody. Into the world. As what? As a seed. So Jesus takes 11 guys and says, go. Where? Into the world. To do what? Mark 16:15. Look at this. Then he told them, go into all the world. Where did the farmer plant this seed? The world. And preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes is baptized will be saved, and his baptism will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. So just like what God did with Adam and Eve, Jesus did with Peter, James, John, and Andrew, and all those guys, 11, minus Judas. You know what happened to him. He's out of the picture this time. So watch what they do. These 11 guys go into all the world, and they preach the gospel. And they are a seed planted. And then they produce harvest. What is the harvest? Us. Out of 11 guys who Jesus plants, 2.5 billion people in the world, one-third of population, is worshiping, bowing their knees down to Jesus Christ. Tell me that's not a harvest. That's how kingdom works. So this is how it works. 11 are sown. They produce 30, 60, or 100-fold. Then God takes those people and sows them. And then those people sow them. They produce fruit. You see why fruitfulness is important? And that's how the kingdom of God works. It spreads.
and you think it's supernatural, it is, and yet it's almost like a natural formula if you're a mathematician. If you're a mathematician, it's like, okay, so that's how, it's like a, almost like a multi-marketing system. But before they came up with a multi-marketing system, Jesus already planted this idea and how the kingdom of God. So what is the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of heaven looks like? The kingdom of heaven is designed not by force, not by violence, but by preaching of the gospel to be spread all over the world. Today, you are a seed, and God says, it is my Father's will. Jesus said this about God. It is my Father's will that you would produce much fruit. Meaning, God, spiritually speaking, wants you to have many babies. Spiritually speaking. Spiritually speaking. God wants you to have many babies. Amen. And then God wants to grow those babies and then seed them into the world so they can make spiritual. We're talking spiritual stuff here. Babies. Amen. Some of you are like, I'm done with that. Don't prophesy to me, Pastor. I'm going to rebuke that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I lost my voice yesterday at the lake. It was so much fun. Oh my goodness. I was playing, we had that floaty, you know, Matt behind the boat. And Hadassah wanted me to play with her, so I was the crocodile. So I was like slither into the water and go after her. And she would yell and I would yell. And then she wanted me to be a dolphin. And I had to make noises. And so shot my voice. I mean, shot it. She's like, Daddy, you're not doing it right. That's not how a dolphin sounds. Like, I don't know. How does it sound? No. Now, next question I want to ask you. Who are the people the evil one has planted into this field? Okay? Because as Jesus plants his seed, did you know that Jesus planted us? Satan, he's not like, oh, well, if Jesus plants, I can't go there. No, he says, let me see if I can do some damage. So he comes in and he takes these tares. Tares or darnel looks exactly like wheat. Looks exactly like wheat. Except its seeds are poisonous. That's why he said he will send his angels to pull out the tares first. So the tares don't go into the... do we have a picture of that? Wheat and tares. Well, that you see, right here. So this is on your left is the wheat, and this is the tares. Tares have black seeds when they're done, and the wheat has white, golden seeds when they're done. The previous picture, ladies, look how at the end of the at the end of its growth, the wheat bows down as to worship. Tares don't bow down. They keep standing. Those are not tares, but you get the point. You get the point. Thank you. Amen. Man, so who are the people the evil one plants into God's field? Who are the tares? Could you be the tare today? Can you be the tare or the weed today? Let's look. I think they are false converts. They're false converts. Just like tares are called false wheat, okay? They are false Christians. Do they know that? I don't know. Some do, maybe some don't. Did Judas know that he was a tare in the group of Jesus? Did he know that? That's a question for you to answer, possibly. But he did make a decision to betray Jesus willingly. Tares bear a very close resemblance to the wheat. Tares are indistinguishable from the wheat in the early stages of growth. So by looking at tares, you wouldn't think they're tares in the beginning. The only time you will realize that they're tares is at the harvest time, is when they begin to bear or produce fruit. Tares look like a real deal until the fruit shows up. Matthew
7:20. Jesus said, yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. Right there. I'll say it again, okay. Just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, you can identify people by their actions. So how do you know who is wheat and who is tares? Because we're not supposed to pull them out, but we are supposed to identify them. And how do you identify a tare or a darnel or a weed? By their fruit, by their actions. Do they have fruit of repentance? Do they want to bring other people closer to Jesus? Do they want to create spiritual babies? Do you have a desire to reach your community for Jesus? That's a fruit. Amen? That's a good fruit. Do you worship Jesus? That's a fruit of your lips, Bible says, when we worship Him. Amen. There's other fruits of holiness, right? Living, wanting to live. Listen, nobody here is going to live a holy life. But everybody here should try to live a holy life. Nobody's here is going to be perfect, but everybody here should try to be like Jesus. Amen. So we're not talking about being, we're talking about striving to be. Okay? No, I'm not perfect and I'll never be. Yesterday I was driving and somebody really cut me off. I think they wanted to get into accident. Boy, the blood was boiling in me. If I was a little bigger, I would get out. Just kidding. But definitely I wanted to give him a bird. Definitely. Oh, I'm like, what if they come to church tomorrow? What if one of you knows them and invites them? You know how this world is small. It's like, oh man. Just drive away, smile and wave. So this guy is turning to the right. So I'm trying to pass him on the left, and he's turning to the left. His blinker is pointing to the right. And he's trying, and he's like cornering me. Thank God my truck has some power. So, amen. That's all I'm going to say. Nobody here is perfect. I'm not here to claim that I am. Far from it. But I'm trying to be. And nobody is here, life is, but I'm not making excuses for my sins. Yeah, I'm a sinner. Thank God for His grace. Thank God for substitutionary atonement. Somebody else died on behalf of me and already paid for all my sins, not just my past, but my future. When Jesus bought my life, He didn't buy just my past or my present. He bought everything, my life, my 80 years, my 115 years, whatever you want to live to. I personally want to go, you know, to be with Jesus, but I don't want to be here for so long. But maybe my grandchildren will want me to be here. If they don't, then I'll ask Jesus to go. Amen. So, how do you know a tare? By their fruit. Not all who claim to be true Christians are true sons and daughters of the kingdom. Some people even, Matthew 7:21, watch this. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. So not everybody who will say, oh, Jesus, I know Jesus. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. See, a lot of people today want to be saved. A lot of people want Jesus to be their Savior, but not Lord. Jesus doesn't just want to be your Savior. He wants to be your Lord and Savior. Is this a lot? Right? I'm like, Jesus, I don't mind you saving me. I mean, I love it. But can I be the Lord of my life? Can I do what I want? Actually, I had that prayer like 2 weeks ago. Can I please do what I want with my life? He doesn't just want you to have a Savior. He wants you to have a Lord and Savior. Lord means He is in charge. The tares don't want Him to be the Lord. They don't mind Him being the Savior, They just don't want him to be the Lord. Ask yourself at this moment or this week, do I want Jesus just to be my Savior, or do I want him to be my Lord and Savior? Because he wants to be both. Notice, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord. It's actually those who do the will of my Father. Meaning, those who allow me to be their Lord. Those who allow me to be the boss. Is Jesus the boss of your life? No, you ain't the boss of me, Jesus. You can save me, but don't boss me around. Now, if you're new today, I know I'm preaching on grade level 5 probably. So just bear with me. God loves you. But I'm talking 5th graders stuff right now. Summer, we go a little deeper. Have you noticed that? In the summer, we like to go a little deeper. And in the fall, we preach 1st, 2nd grade again, you know, where most people can understand. But I think Holy Spirit has an ability to tell you exactly what you need to hear today. Amen. Amen. Now, Christian, can you tell the difference between truth and error, between the tares and the wheat? Point number 3, and this is going to be my last point. You and I were not always good seed. You were not always a good seed. Somebody say amen. Colossians 1:21. This includes you who were once far from God. What is the vision of this church? Bringing people closer to Jesus. Those who are far from God. There you go. A verse for that. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies. Oh, could you have been a tare? You were his enemy. I'm a good person. No, you could be a good person and an enemy of God. Because it's the blood of Jesus that washes all of our sins. Meaning that's confession of Jesus as Lord and Savior is what makes us right with God. God is not looking for good people. He's looking for people to get right with him through his son, Jesus. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. So you and I were once a weed, at least, and possibly a tear. But thank God that there was people in our life who didn't just keep the gospel to themselves, the good news of Jesus to themselves. They prayed for us, they invited us, and they were fruitful. Thank God for true believers who say, fruitfulness is not an option. It's a must. It has to happen in my life. So I'm going to go and see if I can influence other people, if I could pray for other people, if I could invite other people, so they can get close to God as I'm close to God. So they can be a part of this kingdom of God, their creator, as I am a part of the kingdom of God. Amen. So maybe I was a tare before, but because the wheat had an impact, the wheat shined like light, and I was transformed by that power. Now, in the natural, you can't take a tare and make him into a wheat. Not happening. But in the spirit, God says, there's new birth. There's born again. When you were evil, you were born, reborn. Amen? Bible says, in Christ, we are new creation. So Christ has the power to take and transform any life. So you shouldn't say, this one is a tear. I can't invite him. I can't talk to him about Jesus. But maybe this one is good. You never know who is. That's not your job to discriminate who is the wheat, who is the tear. Your job is to be that seed that grows and impacts people for the kingdom of God in their life. How do you know you are a true son of God? You have a desire to make spiritual babies. Sounds bad, but it works. You have a desire to make spiritual babies. God planted you as a seed so you can produce more seed. So He can take that seed and plant them into the ground so that seed can produce more until the whole earth will be filled with the glory of God like the water that covers the sea. Our vision here at New Life is to bring people closer to Jesus. Now, why do I do this? Tom Stammen was sitting in my office. He said, "Why do you do this?" I said, "Because I truly believe that the kingdom of God can change somebody's life for the better." And how do I know that? Because God changed my life. I love being a Christian. If you ask a true Christian, "Do you love being a Christian?" You would say, "I love being a Christian." It's better one day in the house of God, in the presence of God, than 1,000 elsewhere. I love worshiping and living for God. I love living with no condemnation. I love knowing that my future is 100% secure. I know where I'm going when I die. I don't have to wake up in terror thinking, "Where am I going to go when I die? Is there heaven?" I know where I'm going. And God wants that security, that eternal security for you. Amen? Amen. So if you're a Christian today, God wants you to be the seed that produces a lot of seed. Amen? Everybody. Not just those who have a seminary degree, because I don't have one. Okay? Everybody. If you're not a believer, God wants you to open your heart and allow this His gospel, which is a seed also, to come into your heart. Amen? So I want everybody